We will not fear. What a blessing to hear the choir proclaim those words with such confidence. We will not fear. On Friday night, our choir, along with a number of other choirs from our area, sang at the Southern Wesleyan University Musica Ecclesia event. And that particular piece, our choir sang along with the choir from St. Andrew's Catholic Church. So it was an even larger group with three trumpet players, and what a wonderful sound and what a wonderful message. We will not fear. And so I pray that that message will sink into our hearts this day as we hear more from Scripture about why we don't have to fear. May that message give us strength as we move forward into whatever this week may hold for each of us. Let us go to God in prayer. God, we thank you that you are a God who gives us nothing to fear, that you are a God who loves us, a God who calls us, a God who makes all things work for good. And so we pray, God, that we would hear those words, that we would believe those words, that we would trust those words, and that we would live those words, that we will not fear. Whatever it is, God, that brings us fear, help us to recognize it. Help us to name it if we need to, and help us to give it to you. Help us to trust you. Help us to set whatever it is that gives us fear in your hands, at your feet, that we may worship you with our whole hearts, with our whole selves, that we may set that fear aside and worship you fully. We thank you, God, that you set us free, that you bring us forth into new light and a new day, that you are a God of resurrection. And we pray, God, that we would experience that resurrection, that we would live fully and freely without fear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, in honor of Valentine's Day, just a few days ago, I have taken the liberty of creating a Valentine card using one of the scripture verses from one of our passages this morning. And I know you probably gave and received Valentines. I'm sure you saw a lot of Valentines at the store recently, but I can guarantee that you have not seen this card. This is a unique Valentine message straight from the text of Jeremiah. It uses Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? Perhaps not the message you would want to give someone on Valentine's Day, but I did add a little Happy Valentine's Day, so maybe that makes it a little better. Perhaps the prophetic books of the Bible, like Jeremiah, are not the best source for Valentine card inspiration. The major prophets are featured in one of our stained glass windows. It's the second window from the front on your right. That is our major prophet window. And the one at the very top, surrounded by purple, is meant to depict the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is sometimes called the weeping prophet. And this comes from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, where Jeremiah laments, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people." It seems that Jeremiah was often tasked with bringing bad news to the people of Israel, with bringing news of coming judgment. And so he is sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet because he wept over this news and wept over what he had to share and what was to come to the people of Israel. The book of Jeremiah is the longest book in the Hebrew Bible, which might surprise you because it is not the one with the most chapters or the most verses, but it is the book with the most Hebrew words. The prophet Jeremiah is the weeping prophet because he brings that bad news, and it is a lot of news. It is the longest book in the Old Testament. He brings the news that God's judgment is coming and that the people have fallen short. And at least part of the explanation for that judgment is in our Valentine verse, verse 9. The heart is devious. When God's people encounter choices between good and evil, between what God wants them to do and the opposite of that, they often choose, and we often choose, that which God warns against. Sometimes our heart seems like it cannot be trusted. The heart turns against us and turns us toward what is not good for us. Jeremiah chapter 17 presents one of these two-option life tests. This particular test is about where we place our trust. Do we trust God or do we trust humans? Verses 5 and 6 describe what it looks like for us to trust in human strength. If we rely on human strength, we will soon run out of sustenance. We will run out of strength. Like a shrub in the desert, we will dry up because human strength, either our own strength or that of other humans around us, is not enough for the challenges that life brings. But verse 7 and 8 offer a different option with very different results. If we trust in the Lord, even more than that, if our trust is the Lord, then we will be like a tree planted by the water. We will have access to a deep and abundant source of sustenance and nourishment. The water is plentiful, and we are connected to that water. We do not have to fear times of drought or scarcity. We do not have to fear challenging times or the future at all, because we have plenty of water, plenty of strength, plenty of grace from a God who is worthy of our trust for now and for whatever the future will bring. These two options between trusting God and trusting something or someone other than God are frequently presented to the people of Israel in Scripture. On Wednesday nights, our Bible study group has been reading the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs, this choice is frequently presented as listening to the voice of wisdom or listening to the voice of folly. Jeremiah discovers that all too often, humans make the wrong choice. And so verse 9 is a lamentation of that, a lamentation that the heart is devious and perverse. Other translations use the words deceitful or wicked or sick and beyond a cure. And yet, God keeps trying to cure our hearts. God keeps offering medicine and remedies and reminders and teachings, and we keep ignoring, disobeying, disregarding the very one who created us. God knows our hearts. If only we would listen to God. What is it that God is telling us over and over that we somehow find a way around, that we somehow listen to another voice, we listen to another source, we rely on our own strength or that of another? Verse 9 may not make a very good Valentine card, but it does make a very fitting prayer of lament. The heart is devious above all else. The heart is deceitful. It is perverse. Who can understand it? It is a little unclear in the passage whether it is God saying that or whether it is Jeremiah saying that. It looks like God, the way the text is written, because it's part of something else that God is saying to the people or saying to Jeremiah to say to the people. But it seems strange for God to say, "Who can understand the heart?" So perhaps this is Jeremiah saying that back to God, saying to God, "I know you've given us these two choices, and yet, even though I warn the people, even though I tell the people, the heart is devious, the heart is perverse. Who can understand it?" I pray that we can recognize the ways in which our own hearts have deceived us and have led us away from trusting God. Proverbs 3 encourages us to listen to the voice of wisdom and offers us the cure for our deceitful hearts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Even though our hearts may be devious, and sometimes it may seem that we can't trust our hearts, God tells us to trust God with all of our hearts. Even though our hearts are imperfect and with sin and broken, God still wants our hearts. God still wants us to trust God with all of our hearts, broken and scarred though they may be. In Jeremiah's words, when we do that, when we trust God with all of our heart, we will be like a tree planted by streams of water. The words of the wisdom teachers in Proverbs and the words of the prophet in Jeremiah bear a striking similarity, reminding us that both the wisdom writings and the prophetic writings point to the same truth, to the same God, to the same way of living, to the same foundation. Trust God. Trusting God is the key to our well-being. It is the key to faith. It is the path to wisdom. This is what God tells us through the prophets, as we see in Jeremiah. Trust God. This is what the wisdom writer said in Proverbs. Trust God. We see this theme in different types of writings because it is true of life in ancient Israel and for us. Over and over throughout Scripture, we are instructed to trust God. We are reassured that we can trust God, and we are promised that we will be okay if we do trust God. Jeremiah states it very simply. If we trust God, we will be blessed. If we trust in humans instead of God, we will be cursed. We might say that Jeremiah gives us the secret to decoding God's blessings and curses. The tricky part is that sometimes blessings and curses don't look exactly like we might expect, because Jeremiah doesn't say that if we trust in God, we will never experience drought. The tree by the water still goes through times of drought, still goes through the challenges, but it has those deep roots. It has those connections to that source of water, so it does not have to fear those times of drought. Jeremiah says, if you trust God, you will be blessed. If you trust in humans, you will be cursed. God is not meting out the curses as punishment, as we sometimes imagine, but rather these curses are sometimes the consequences of misplaced trust. In a classroom, a student might say that a teacher gave him or her a certain grade, but the teacher would rightly say it is the student who earned that grade. A good teacher does not assign grade according to some new criteria. The teacher doesn't introduce something new into the grading process, but the teacher matches the student's work with the criteria that have already been established. In a similar way, God has already given us the standards by which we are to live. We already know what the criteria are. When we face God's judgment, God is not introducing something new. God is not evaluating us according to some unknown standard. We know what we are to do. God tells us clearly how to live. Trust God. Love God. Love your neighbor. Worship God. Follow God's teachings. When we fall short of what God has instructed us to do, we often face the results of our decisions, not as a punishment doled out by God at God's whim because God is angry, but because the result of not trusting God, of not following God's instruction, is detrimental to our well-being. God's instructions are for our good. When we fail to follow those instructions, when we fail to trust God, then we do not have that relationship with God to rely on when we encounter challenges. Now notice that Jeremiah does not say being blessed by God means we will never encounter hardships. We will still encounter them because sometimes those droughts, those seasons of scarcity are part of life. But if we are connected to our source of life, connected to God, then we don't have to fear those times. The hardships we face in life, illness, broken relationships, grief, these are not necessarily curses that result from not following God's instructions. Sometimes they may be. Now, if a spouse is unfaithful in marriage and that leads to the end of the marriage, then we can see a connection between adultery and the pain of divorce. And we could say that for the spouse who has committed the unfaithful act, that may be a consequence of their actions. But that person's actions will also cause pain to others, to their spouse, to children, to friends. For those who had no choice in the situation, the pain of the broken relationship is not a curse due to not following God, but it is like the season of drought that the tree by the water experiences. It is a season of difficulty and hardship, but one in which they can still be blessed. Trusting in God helps us through those hard times that we cannot avoid. And we know there are plenty of such times, even in the lives of God's faithful. We can obey God. We can follow all of God's instructions to the best of our ability. We can live a pure and holy life. But that does not protect us from cancer, from death, from financial struggles, from betrayal, from loss. We cannot avoid the pain of living. But we can do something to help us get through those times. And we can do it even before those times come. We can trust God. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Imagine a tree bearing fruit even in times of drought. Imagine our lives producing the fruit of one who is following God even in difficult times, because we are so deeply connected to our source of life, to God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33 says it like this: "But those who listen to wisdom will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster." It doesn't say without disaster. We're never promised a life free of troubles, but we are promised that we do not have to dread disaster. We do not have to be afraid, because when we trust God, we have resources, we have strength, we have grace, even in disaster. Trust God. How simple it sounds, how difficult it can be to do in our lives. Jeremiah 17:7 reminds us that not only are we blessed when we trust in God, but that God wants to be the very definition of trust for us. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. The version of scripture that we read this morning, the New Revised Standard Version, uses the word trust twice in that verse. But in Hebrew, it is two different words that are both translated trust here. The first one is nearly always translated trust. And so if you have a different translation, I would guess that the first word is translated trust. The second one might be translated as confidence or hope. And so you might read, "But blessed is the one whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, whose hope the Lord is." Trust, confidence, hope. That is who God is. That is who we come to worship today. That is who strengthens us throughout the week. And so in the moments of trouble, in the perhaps longer than a moment, in the weeks and the seasons of trouble, may we trust in God. May we remember God is not only our trust, God is our hope, God is our confidence. When we trust God, we will still go through those spells of dryness. Sometimes when we go through those times, we think we have done something wrong. That may be the case, but it may be that this is simply a season of life, and that God wants us to trust in God through this struggle. We may be struggling with life, with faith, with pain, but we can still be blessed like a tree planted by the water, as Jeremiah describes. Let us go to God in prayer together. God, we thank you that you are indeed a God who is worthy of our trust. God, we know that life can be challenging, that we face many different struggles and seasons of life. We face grief and we face illness and we face things that we never thought we would face. We pray, God, that whatever we encounter, that our trust in you would be deep enough, would be strong enough to carry us through. And for the times, God, when our trust doesn't feel to be quite enough, we pray, God, that your grace would cover us, that you would strengthen our trust, that you would strengthen our hearts, and that you would help us to keep trusting, even when things are not going as we had hoped. We know, God, that you are a good God, that you are a God of love and a God of grace. And we pray, God, that we would continue to trust in you through all that we face. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, our hymn of response is, "I Then Shall Live." And it describes how we can live as people who trust in God. Because we trust in God, we can live in the ways that this song describes. Number 680, as we sing our hymn of response, I'll be at the altar table. If you have something on your heart you'd like to share with me or with our church family, if you have a decision you'd like to make, we would welcome the opportunity to hear from you this day as we respond to the God in whom we trust. Number 680, I then shall live.